May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
The Hebrew Bible passage is from Isaiah chapter 60. In the last 10 chapters of the book of Isaiah, chapters 56 to 66, it's a kind of a loose collection of all sorts of material, and the early Christian church looked at those chapters and found in them all sorts of references that they found extremely helpful as they thought about who Jesus was when he came. So listen now for God's word in Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and God's glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2. It's part of the story we often read at Christmas. The final part, part of what's imagined on Pastor Diana's stole, where Magi kneel to offer gifts to the Christ child. I invite you to listen for the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they'd heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. To get ourselves warmed up for the message today, and in a small nod to the practices and traditions of our Loft congregation, I want to invite you to talk to each other for a minute. I'm going to give you a question. The question is, what's something that you're looking for in 2023? This can be a physical, literal object, a person you want to reconnect with, something more intangible that you're seeking. What's something you're looking for in 2023? I invite you to turn to someone near you. You get bonus points if it's someone you don't know or don't know well. Make sure you learn their name and then exchange. I'll give you a minute and a half. At 45 seconds, I'll say switch. That means if you've been talking, you should give the other person a chance to talk. Ready, set, go. Thank you for taking time to talk and to listen, to bring yourselves into our worship gathering this morning. I hope that you'll continue your conversation with the folks that you've met, talked with this morning after worship at our fellowship hour as well. It is a gift to be part of a community that has at core of part of its practice the work of seeking. I invite you to join me as we pray. Oh, holy God, in this hour, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. There's something about seeking that's at the core of the story that we celebrate on Epiphany. It's a story of magi who were so tuned in to look for signs and direction in the distant stars that they were ready to make a long journey in order to be faithful to the direction they were hearing from up in the skies. It's also a story of seeking safety. The gospel reading that I read just now from Matthew's gospel stops before it gets ugly. There's allusion to the threat that King Herod plays and feels at the birth of Jesus, who even these magi, wise people from a distant land, recognize as special, as royal, and as important. So that when King Herod hears these magi from a distant land announce that they understand that a new king for the Jews has been born, he feels threatened. And in a puzzling line of scripture, Matthew says, and all of Jerusalem with him. I suspect that that line, that Herod felt afraid and all of Jerusalem with him, is a window into the way Herod's fears and insecurities control the people he is ruling, the way he functions as a leader whose fears become captivity to those he ought to be protecting and leading. In any case, it's clear that Herod will be a threat. After Jesus' birth, the Magi heed the message of a dream and go back by another way, not returning to King Herod to give him the location of this child who's been born. But Herod, nonetheless, follows through with an evil plot in order to destroy Jesus, a new threat, a ruler who would replace and supplant him. And instead of targeting one child, he targets all of the children. Jesus and his family, of course, flee in exile, going to Egypt, which, when we read it, is a stunning reminder of the path of liberation and oppression that has long been a part of the life of the people of God. We remember the people of Israel, who first went to Egypt to survive a famine, and then became imprisoned under Pharaoh, until Moses liberated them back to return to their homeland. We hear in this story another occurrence, an echo of that repetition of needing to flee, going as refugees to another place in order to survive, continuing the cycle of seeking liberation and safety that so often displaces us, messes up our lives, and uproots us from the places we've belonged, the places we've found safety. As we read these stories in 2023, is that it's the equivalent of remembering to change the date on your check? Is that's the old days? As we read these stories in 2023, we know that this struggle continues. The human reality, the global reality of migration and displacement of refugees and exile, it's a story that's vivid today as we seek to be people who build communities that are sources of life and safety, as we deal with the reality of oppressions and systemic evil that prevent us from, all of us, from experiencing the fullness of life. This is a story meant for us then, a story to tune us into seeking, to tune us in to the stars above as we seek direction for who we'll be, who we're called to be in this moment, in the moment ahead. 2022 was a good year for people who like to look at the stars. The James Webb telescope gave us a clearer and more vivid image of things an unfathomable distance away, of thousands of light years out into space, suddenly in a way that we could observe them with our eyes with sharp clarity. I am not an expert in how telescopes work, but my understanding is that part of what the James Webb telescope offered us is an ability to filter through the cloudiness and light that sometimes impedes our ability to see a great distance. So this isn't a simple story of light against dark. This is a story of filtering through the distracting light in order to see the light that's truly our destination. It's a story of getting through the mess, the noise of lifting our heads above the mess, of cutting through all the clutter in order to see a distance that previously had been impossible to glimpse. On this Epiphany Sunday, on this first day of the new year, we're invited to be people who look up and out, up further than we can imagine, out forward into a distance that's hard to perceive, to see with sharpness and clarity the promise of the gospel, which is meant to be liberation and life, forgiveness and compassion and hope. There is so much that gets in the way, but it's only a few hours into the new year, so maybe we can maintain the hope that we'll hold on to that distant vision this year, that we'll see with a sharp clarity, a further distance than we've been able to perceive so far. The familiar Christmas song, We Three Kings, we'll sing later as a part of our communion liturgy, has that chorus, Star of Wonder, Star of Light. I love the wonder-filled language of Epiphany. I love that the Magi were overwhelmed with joy when they knelt at the Christ child. I love this sort of transcendent experience that's carried in ordinary human bodies as we glimpse or touch or begin to feel a love of God that, it turns out, is clearer and deeper than we've been able to believe. On this Epiphany Sunday, we hold on to that wonder as a reminder to look up and to look out, to look further than we've been able to glimpse, and to believe that there, all around us, is an invitation to life and liberation and justice and joy. There is, of course, a danger in always looking up and out into the distance, off into the heavens, far into the past through the lens of a telescope. The danger is that we forget that it also belongs in us. On Christmas Eve, here in our worship services, I shared a small story from Cole Arthur Riley's book, This Here Flesh, where she talks about the wonder of her dad discovering he could dance in a way he hadn't known his body could dance. When he discovered the wonder of his own body carrying beauty and joy and movement he hadn't believed was possible. And for Cool Arthur Riley, this points us to something critical about wonder. And that is that it's found not only in distant vistas and beautiful mountains, but also in us. And especially wonder is to be found in us when we've believed the lies the world tells, that we're not good enough or beautiful enough or the right height or the right weight or the right skin color or the right gender, the right sexual orientation, in the right place to be the people who God is choosing. Wonder invites us to dare to believe that these bodies, our bodies, the people we are, that we are a location and source of wonder. I want to read you a few of her words. She says, "Wonder requires a person not to forget themselves, but to feel themselves so acutely that their connectedness to every created thing comes into focus. In sacred awe, we are a part of the story." In sacred awe, we are a part of the story. We become the ones in whom we claim wonder. And on this Epiphany Sunday, the first Sunday of 2023, we come to the communion table where we receive a sacrament that is bread and cup given freely to us and taken into our bodies to literally become a part of who we are. This is a marker and reminder to underscore and believe and practice that we are ones who in whom the Holy inhabits. We are the ones that possess and embody the very image of God. We have again taken a sign of holiness into ourselves to believe, to absorb, to claim that we are the ones who bear holy wonder to a world in need. And we find delight and joy. But it's not because we figured it all out or we reached the destination of faith. I think it was this last week. I've sort of lost track of time in this space right before Christmas and between Christmas and New Year's, so it might have been 2 weeks ago. I recently watched the Kennedy Center Honors on TV. I love this annual celebration of arts in our nation and world. One of the honorees this year was the rock band U2. Who sang me through high school and college. They're one of the soundtracks that connects at a deep place in my own story because they were there present at moments of my life. It occasioned me re-listening to some of their music and watching Bono, the lead singer, on Stephen Colbert's show in a beautiful interview where he describes his own call to become a musician as having been rooted in the grief he bears from losing his mother suddenly when he was just 14, the same age he was when he united with these three schoolmates of his to form a band that would become U2. They've been playing together since adolescence, since those early years, and his music has always been an effort to fill a hole that exists in his heart and his life from that grief. His music has also always been a container to hold together and pull together the complexities of life and faith, of interreligious violence in the Ireland he grew up in a world of injustice, and with a God of love. One of my favorite and their most beloved songs is called "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." And it is, for me, a song that captures something essential about what it means to be Christian seeking. The song sings with a confidence of faith and a drive to persist, even though we have not yet reached the destination.
even as we continue to search for the thing we have not yet found, even as we sing longingly and achingly about how far off it still feels, the song is sung with a confidence and persistence because we've glimpsed along the way signs and markers that give us assurance to dare to believe that this thing is real, even though we only see it partially and incompletely and in fleeting moments in small bits. The song invites us to be people who continue the work of seeking, who are people of faith who know that we don't have all the answers, who are people who move forward in confidence of what we believe in, even though we don't yet understand or see clearly how it could possibly be that we'll move from the reality of struggle we know now to the promise of hope that comes in Christ. But we sing on. U2 first recorded the song in their normal style, and a gospel choir in New York City recorded a different version of it that became fused with their version on at least one of their albums. When a black gospel choir sings their rock anthem, it more explicitly gains those tones of our religious tradition, of a claim, of a hope that is not fulfilled, but for its lack of fulfillment is no less true. It becomes a guide star, pulling us and ourselves and our communities toward the hope that God holds for us. In Epiphany, we use the language of stars to talk about this hope set out there, beckoning and drawing us forward. This Epiphany, we are practicing a tradition that's gained popularity in Christian circles of offering you star words. We have little cards here on the communion table, each of which has a word or phrase on it. And as you come for communion, we'll invite you to take one and use it as a tool for reflection or meditation, a guide for your year. They're all unique, so you won't get the same word as someone else. If you get the wrong word, you'll know and you can fix it. I pray that you would be drawn, that the tools of our community and our worship would be useful to you today and throughout this year as you seek to be faithful to this calling, to a God who draws us forward with a little bit of a glimpse of the depth with which we ourselves are a wonder, and ready to see that wonder in the world around us, in our neighbors, in our strangers, and even in our enemies, and in all the world around us. This 2023, may you be people who seek always, who are drawn forward by a God whose presence is known in love. May it be so. Amen.